We welcome each and every one of you to our prayer meeting this evening. We're glad to have you. Do remember the Reverend Harris. We believe he'll be fine for Friday night. We trust he will, but he does need the Lord's touch, and just remember him, please, in prayer. Psalm 106, please. We want to read a few verses, the opening verses of this psalm. Psalm 106, commencing our reading at verse number 1 and reading down even to the end of verse number 9. Psalm 106, verses 1 down to the end of verse 9. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked them at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Amen. We look to the Lord to bless to all of our hearts the reading of his precious truth. It's really verses 4 and 5 I want to concentrate your thoughts upon tonight. And it's those words, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. And what we have here is a personal plea, a personal prayer by the psalmist for the Lord's favour. This is the first of the Hallelujah Psalms. If you read through the book of Psalms, you'll see that there are 10 Hallelujah Psalms in all. And there are two of them that begin with these words, for that's what hallelujah is, of course, praise ye the Lord. And there are two of them that begin and end with these same words, praise ye the Lord. Indeed, six times in the book of Psalms, we read these exact words, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So it's a hallelujah psalm, and it's a psalm of thanksgiving. But furthermore, it is a psalm of repentance. You see, the psalmist and his nation, so very similar to us this evening, had sinned grievously against the Lord. He records that for us in verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. And this confession is so very, very similar to the confession prayers of Nehemiah in chapter 9, and also the prayer of Daniel, that great confession prayer of Daniel chapter 6. Indeed, if you look at verse 47 of this Psalm 106, it would suggest that Israel were scattered in Babylon and elsewhere, the thought of their captivity. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us. From among the heathen. So it's a psalm that really speaks of the scattering of Israel because of their rebellion against God. And he records some of their sins here in this psalm. I want you to notice verse 7. We're only touching on this, for time doesn't permit to go into it in any depth. But I want you to notice in verse 7, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him even at the Red Sea. And in spite of the multitude, underline that thought, the multitude of God's mercies, and yet they didn't remember them. They didn't think upon them. They envied those, verse 16, of course, who were placed in authority upon them. And they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. We read of that. And then in verse 17, we're told how that the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And that reminds us of what is recorded back in Numbers chapter 26 and what actually happened in the rebellion. And also in verse 38, I beg your pardon, I want you to notice here that they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. What dreadful sins the psalmist here even records and even writes concerning. But I want you to notice here tonight a few thoughts, especially from these opening words of verse 4. Notice with me, firstly, the psalmist's plea. It is a personal plea. Though in the main he's praying for his nation, yet he pleads personally for God's mercy. It's quite unusual in the Psalms that someone is praying for the nation and then in the midst of that should pray for God's mercy personally. But that's here what he's doing during his petitions. I want you to notice the use of the personal pronouns here in verses 4 and 5. Remember me. In verse 4, with the favour that thou showest unto thy people, O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, and that I may glory with thine inheritance. And it's not wrong, as Nehemiah prayed, how he was praying for his people as he built the wall, but he often prayed that the Lord would remember him personally, individually, as he labored for the Lord. And haven't we got a personal need tonight to pray, Lord, favor us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. But notice with me also some of the particulars of this particular plea. He prays that the Lord would remember him in verse 4 and grant him the favor that the Lord bearest towards his people. That word bearest just means to favor. The Lord holds or carries or has us in his heart. He bears us in his heart. In other words, the favor that he carries toward his people in his heart. Favored of heaven, favored of Jehovah. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. And what a precious thought it is tonight, men and women, that as believers we have favor from the Lord that is especially, uniquely, and particularly reserved for you and I as the blood-bought of the Lord. This favor, of course, is all of grace. But God's favor is that which is constant, that which is unchanging. Oh, yes, our circumstances undoubtedly change, but God's favor never changes. Here's his covenant mercies toward his people. And I want you to notice that the Lord's favor doesn't depend upon our feelings. It's not made any less because of our fears. And I believe that's why the psalmist commences this verse 4 with those words, "Remember me, O Lord." He felt his tremendous sinfulness. He felt his need and his total unworthiness before the Lord his God. He felt so insignificant before God. And yet he says, "Lord, remember me with the favor that which thou bearest unto thy people." But the question tonight is this: what specifically is the Lord's favor that the psalmist is referring to, that the psalmist is seeking for? Let me take you to three portions of God's word very quickly, even on this point, and let me show you the favor, what it means to be favoured of the Lord. If you turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 28. And I want you to notice, please, verses 36 to 38. Exodus 28, verses 36 to 38. And I want you to notice here what we read in this portion of God's word. Exodus 28, verses 36 to 38. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold engraven upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. Underline that, the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And you would say to me, but the word favour is not here. Ah, but it is. You'll notice that it is literally the last words we read there from the end of verse 38, that they may be accepted, favoured before the Lord. Favoured before the Lord. And the thought, the expression is here, the thought of Aaron, the high priest. Our acceptance is because of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how that Aaron would bear the iniquity of the holy things. Because even our most holiest effort for God is even afflicted with sinfulness. For how sinful we really are, from the crown of our head to the very sole of our foot. But notice that expression, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of holy things. And that word bear is the very same word. We're looking here at Aaron, the great high priest, the one who would bear the offering for Israel, and who would bear the iniquity of the holy things for them, that they might be accepted before the Lord. And it reminds us of Isaiah chapter 53. And you remember there how that it said of our Savior that he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That word borne is the very same word that's used here to bear the iniquity of holy things. And then, of course, later on in Isaiah 53, in the verse 12, we're told there that he bare the same of many, the sins of many. And it's again, it's that same verb, to bear the sins of many. Remember, that same truth is taught in the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, how that Peter spoke there that the Lord Jesus bare our sins in his own body, even to the tree. And so the thought is here, the psalmist is praying, Lord, remember me with the favour. Remember me with the acceptance that God's people have before him because of the blood and the sacrifice of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to take you to a second place that this word is also mentioned. And you'll notice it in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And we see here in the verse number 3. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 in the verse number 3. And David here is making this preparation for the construction of the temple. And I want you to notice, he says in verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affection. Moreover, because I have set my favour to the house of God, to the house of my God. And David here, yes, he had laid aside for the construction of the temple, but yet because his affection, because his favour was towards the house of his God, we're told that he gave over and beyond and much more than he had prepared even for its construction. Notice that word at the beginning of verse 3, moreover. And to have the Lord's favour, it is to have his affection. That's what he's praying for. Not only his acceptance, not only the Lord's acceptance, but also the Lord's affection. To have the Lord's favor is to know the Lord's heart toward us, that heart that is so bountiful toward his people. Even as David was so bountiful here towards the house of his God, giving over and above everything that he had prepared even for the building of the temple. But let me take you to one final place. Not only acceptance, not only affection, but I want you to notice in 2 Chronicles and the chapter 15 and the verse 15 there, there is another occasion when this word favor is translated properly and rightly translated. We have the best Bible in our hands, men and women. The proper scripture in our hands. And I want you to notice here in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 15, we read these words, And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest about, and sought him with their favor. That's the whole desire. This is in the reign of Asa, the grandson of Solomon, the third king of Israel. They had sought the Lord with all of their heart, with their whole delight. And Christian, tonight, the Lord joys over us. I'm reminded of Zephaniah 3 and 17, where we read that the Lord rejoices over us with singing. He loves us. And the Lord here, he doesn't only accept us, he doesn't only have a heart that is full of affection for us, but also his whole desire. And all that he does is for the benefit and the blessing and the good of you and I, the redeemed of the Lord. That's the favor that the psalmist is here praying for. Lord, give me this favor that is known by the redeemed of the Lord. I want to move on and show you those who partake of the Lord's favor. In Psalm 106, turning back to that psalm, I want you to notice verse 4 and 5 here. There is a glorious list and a wonderful description of our position as the children of the Lord. For we are those who partake of this favor. The blood-bought, the redeemed of the Savior. And I want you to notice here the very first description that he gives here. He speaks of us as the people of the Lord, which thou bearest unto thy people, verse 4. And the picture here is of the flock of God. The picture here is of the sheep of his pasture. And praise God, tonight we are part of the flock of the Lord. I want you to notice also the partakers of the Lord's favor are those who are chosen, that I may see, verse 5, the good of thy chosen. It amazes me that some people can't see election and chosen of God in the scriptures. Here it is, even in this psalm. In this psalm in verse 5, the good of thy chosen, it literally means the chosen one or the elect one. And we are those tonight who didn't choose Christ, but Christ chose us. We were chosen out of the world, chosen before the foundation of the world. And praise God tonight, you and I who are part of the flock of God and those who have been chosen in grace by God, we are partakers of this favor. But also I want you to notice we're part of his nation. I'm not going to go into that really. We're just really part of his people. Part of his people. But I want you to notice, especially at the end of verse 5, we are also his inheritance. Isn't that a wonderful thought? that you and I, believer, tonight are Christ's inheritance. I want you to let that sink in tonight. We are Christ's inheritance. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 6, all that the Father giveth me as his inheritance shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful blessing. The Lord's people is Christ's portion. The Lord's people are the lot of his inheritance. They are chosen for an inheritance, as John Gill said. They're given to Christ as such, and with which he is well pleased, esteeming us to be a godly heritage. We are his purchased possession tonight, child of God. We are his jewels. We are his peculiar treasure. But let me finish tonight by showing you a little of the glorious inheritance, of the glorious possession, of those favored by the Lord. The psalmist here speaks, of course, in verse 5, that I may see. It just means that I may enjoy, that I may enjoy the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Oh, what tremendous blessings we enjoy as believers. And all these possessions flow from that favor and from that salvation, from that acceptance that we have in the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice here, he speaks firstly of the good of his chosen. The good of his chosen. It's a very interesting thing. The good of his chosen. You know what? This word good is in the widest of senses. In the fullest of senses. It's a thought of tremendous good, of bountiful good, of a good that can't be quantified. It is just so great and so marvelous. That's the good that we have in Christ. It's in the widest possible sense. And I want you to turn with me, please, to John chapter 17. And I want you to notice a few things from John chapter 17, because it's a wonderful, it's Christ's high priestly prayer, of course. But in this high priestly prayer, it shows us the good that is ours in Christ. What we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice here in verse number 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that thou shouldest give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And in John chapter 17, I want you to notice the repetition of that expression, or words along those lines, that thou hast given him. The thought that we are Christ's inheritance, that we have been given to Christ by God the Father as his inheritance. But I want you to notice the blessings, the good of his chosen. And I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 2 here, that it is eternal life. We've been given eternal life. I want you to notice another example of it here in John 17. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept. Those that thou givest me, I've given them eternal life in verse 2. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept them in verse number 12. For not only have we an inheritance in heaven, reserved in heaven for us, but we are kept for that inheritance. The Lord does the keeping. The Lord does the keeping. And I want you to notice something else in verse 24. Another good of his chosen. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now, I did talk about the Bible you have in your hand and that it is the sole Word of God. In the perversions it will speak here about, in verse 24, it will say, Father, I wish that they also whom thou hast given me. But there's no wishing here, men and women. This word will is a very, very strong word in the Greek language. It actually means to bequeath something. It actually means to leave something in a will. That's the thought that Christ is saying here. Father, I have bequeathed that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And because Christ, as Paul reminds us in Hebrews, the testator has died, his will cannot be changed, and we will be with him to behold the glory of our Savior. What glorious prosperity is ours? What good is ours as his chosen? Why don't we go back to Psalm 106, and I want you to notice again in verse number 5, notice what we read there. Not only the good of his chosen, but the gladness of his nation. And the thought is here of rejoicing. The thought is of pleasure. And it suffices for me to say tonight that happy is that people whose God is the Lord. What joy is ours in Christ. But then let me show you one final thing. In verse 5. That I may glory with thine inheritance. The word glory can also mean that I may shine. That I may shine with thine inheritance. It's a lovely thought, isn't it? Would you turn with me, please, in closing to Matthew's Gospel? I want you to notice chapter 13, the that chapter that contains all those parables of Christ. And remember how in verse 43 were actually taken. In fact, verse 42 and on were taken to consider the final judgment. And we're told of the wicked, which at the end of time, the angels cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But notice also at that time, we read in verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Isn't that what the psalmist is praying for here? Lord, remember me with this favor, this acceptance, loving me with all of your heart, with your whole desire, that I may know all the good, the fullness of good in Christ, that I may have that rejoicing of being his, and that I may one day shine as those who shine, even with the glory of thy kingdom. Oh, what a prayer. What a prayer the psalmist prays here in the midst of a nation that were so sinful. But what a wonderful plea for the Lord's favor and for the Lord's blessing. I trust the Lord will write these few thoughts upon our hearts and make them a blessing even to us this evening.